Welcome back to the Sicha as part of the Lakuta Sichas project. We'll be learning a Sicha in Volume 10, Chelek Yud, Parshat Chayes Torah, the second Sicha, which begins on page 65 of Volume 10. It is the Sicha on Rashi. So let's take a few minutes to go into the background of the Posuk and the Rashi on the Posuk, which we're going to learn. Actually, the Sicha we're going to learn today comments on several Rashis and looks to reconcile them with each other and also resolve internal questions. Let's look back. Most of the Parsha deals with the story of Avram sending his servant, which Chazal say was Eliezer, to find a shidduch, a match for his son Yitzchok, who was then 40 years old. Eliezer goes to Avram's birthplace, to Aram Naharaim, and as he promised Avram, he swore to Avram that he would not take a woman from the local inhabitants, from the Canaanites, but he would go to Avram's birthplace and look for a woman from Avram's family. So Eliezer arrives at the town where Avram's family lives. He doesn't know anybody. He goes to the local water well and he prays to Hashem to help him find success in finding a match, a suitable match for Yitzchok. And he says, Hashem, let this be a sign. If a girl will come out among the girls of the town who come to fetch water, I will ask one of them to fill up water in her pitcher for me. If she will say, I will give water to you and to all your camels, that will be the sign that this is the woman which Hashem has designated for Yitzchok. And so it was, as he's standing at the water well, even before he had finished his prayer, Rivka, the daughter of Bezuel, and Bezuel is the cousin of Avraham, he's the son of Avraham's father's brother, the son of Avraham's brother. So Rivka comes out to get water, and he approaches her and asks, can I have some water to drink from your jug? And she promptly says, not only will I give you water, I'll give all the animals water. And so Eliezer is thankful to Hashem that he has listened to his prayer. He asked the girl, who are you? She said, I am Rivka, daughter of Bezuel. And Eliezer thanks Hashem who has led him to Avram's family directly. She invites Eliezer and his entourage into the house. And they stay there. They're about to give Eliezer a meal. And Eliezer says, hold on first. I want to speak my words. So they said, go ahead and speak. And he recounts the whole story, how Avraham made him swear that he would take a look for a wife from his own family, how he promised Avraham and he said that he would indeed only look for a wife from his family, and should the woman not want to come with him back to Eretz Yisrael, he would be exempted from his oath. and how he came miraculously in one day. A trip that should have taken weeks took one day for him to travel from where Avram lived to Aram Naharayim, and how he arrived at the well, and how he davened to Hashem, and he made a stein, and Hashem immediately answered his tefillah, and according to the stein. And now he says, the choice is yours. I would like Rivka to be a match for the son of my master Avram, namely Yitzchak. If you accept, good. If not, I will look elsewhere. So they all respond, wow, if that's the way it happened, then who are we to say anything in favor or against it? No question, it's all from Hashem. So here's Rivka, and you can take her and go back and let her be a wife for the son of your master. Okay, very nice. So they have the meal. He slept over, and in the morning he said to them, okay, I'm off back to my master's house. I'd like to take Rivka with me. So now they start hemming and hawing. Who starts hemming and hawing? Her brother, Lavan, and her mother. They are the ones who suddenly have an opinion. And they say, wait, not so fast. Let her spend a year here at home, or 10 months, and then she'll go. But Eliezer says, please don't delay me. Hashem has made my trip successful. Send me off and I'll go back to my master. So that's when they say, let's call the girl and ask what she thinks. They call Rivka and they ask her, Hatelechi im ho'ish hazeh, will you go with this man, with Eliezer? And she says, Elech, I will go. Whereupon they assent, and she goes back with Eliezer. Now, on this pasuk, when they stay, when the Rivka's mother and brother say that let's call the girl and ask her, Torashi comments, Mikan, from here we derive, She'ein mastienes to isha ela midait. We marry off a woman only by her consent and agreement. So if you find a shidduch for a girl, a woman, then don't just arrange it. We don't arrange a match for a girl except by her consent. And this is the story. Says the Rebbe, is difficult, because in the previous sukkim, as I quoted before, the day before, when they heard Eliezer's story, they said, oh, it's all from Hashem. So here's Rivka, you can take her and go. Why all of a sudden are they calling Rivka and asking her whether she wants to go or not? It would seem that the only question open now is whether she will go now or in a year from now. Remember, they had said, let her stay at home for a year or 10 months, and then she'll go. So if Eliezer says, no, I want her to come now, so what's the question? Should she come now or should she come a year from now? But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that a woman is only married off by her consent. Apparently, according to Rashi, the question was not about when, but whether this was a match at all, whether she agreed to be married to Yitzchak at all. Oh, Rashi doesn't fit with the flow of the psukim. Next, Rashi comments on Vayomer Achiho v'imo, her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us for a year or 10 months. So Rashi comments on that pasuk. Why? Her brother and her mother. Where was Besuel, her father, who featured prominently the day before when Eliezer first came? Besuel is speaking, and surely it should be the father who had the opinion here. So why her mother and her brother? So Rashi comments, Ubstuel hechon hoyo, where was Bistuel, Rivka's father? Who hoyo roitela akib, he wanted to block the shidach. Bomalach vimistoya, Malach came and got rid of him. Which implies that her brother and her mother didn't want to block the shidach. But according to Rashi here, it seems that even in their mind, it wasn't yet fully clear that they should let her go with Eliezer to be married at all. In fact, they opposed the match. Where do we see that? They opposed the match because in the next pasuk, when they call Rivka and they ask her, will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? She doesn't say yes. She says, Elech, I will go. And Rashi comments, I will go of my own accord, even if you don't want. Aha. So she sensed that they don't want. So they were not only not committed, but it seems even somewhat opposed. So they're asking her about the whole shidduch. So from the one Rashi, it seems that only Bisuel was opposed. But her mother and her brother were committed. From the other, Rashi has seen that they were not committed. They were still questioning or even opposed to the shidduch. So we changed it. Third question. From the flow of the psukim, it's clear that they immediately agreed. And they agreed on the spot to make it happen right away. As they said, the day before, after Eliezer recounted his story, they said, here is Rivka, take her and go. So after Rashi says that we don't marry off a woman except by her consent, so why did they say yesterday, take her and go? And immediately, without waiting a year, Rashi said further that the delay of a year would be because a woman needs 12 months to provide herself with her finery, with her adornments, in order to prepare for marriage. Oh, are you supposed to wait or you're not supposed to wait? Are you supposed to ask or you're not supposed to ask? How did they say right away, take her and go? Yes, yesterday they said that, without asking her about the shidduch and without waiting the requisite time. And now the Rebbe turns to the Rashi on the question of should she stay for a year or 10 months. The Rashi says, why did they ask, let her stay? Because that's the done thing that a bezula, a first time marriage is given 12 months in order to provide herself with her finery, with her adornment or trousseau. So here too, said the Rebbe, we need to understand it's obvious that a woman would need some time to prepare herself for marriage. Even a 5-year-old who's just starting out with chumash understands that. Well, we understand portion why the brother and the mother said, let her stay for some time or whatever time in order to prepare herself. So why does Rashi find it necessary to comment at all as to the meaning of their request? Rashi said, it's the done thing to give a girl 12 months. Why does that need comment at all? It's obvious that a girl needs time to prepare for her wedding. If Rashi is out to explain why precisely a year, so why doesn't he explain why precisely 10 months? Rashi doesn't bother to explain what's special about 10 months. He only said that the done thing was to give a girl a year. So what does Rashi want here? Second of all, in Shutta Shal Mikro, simply, it, this period of a year is kind of a guesstimate. They figured that's how long it would take to prepare her for her wedding. If you push it and you do it not leisurely, but under pressure, you can manage in 10 months. Which is why Eliezer was ready to take her immediately without leaving her 12 months, because he understood that she wouldn't need to prepare herself. Whatever she needed would be provided for her by Avram, by Yitzchok. How can you derive from here what Rashi derives that is standard practice? To give a girl 12 months, that's the halacha, yes. But how can you derive it from here? Because they said 12 months, maybe that's what they figured she would need. Furthermore, on the contrary, if the standard practice is to give a year, it's not just their guesstimate of how much time they needed, but that's the way you do it. So how did they offer to do it in 10 months? Let her wait only 10 months. And if there is the reason why 10 months, why do they ask for a year? But here too, we see that there's no standard practice. Might be a year, might be 10 months. So how can we learn from here that there is a standard practice of a year? Well, the Rebbe explained. First of all, why does Rashi state that when they were going to call Rivka and ask her, they were going to ask her about the Shidduch generally and not just about whether she would go now or after a year or so? Rashi must learn that they're asking her about the Shidduch altogether, because when they turn to her and ask her, they ask, will you go with this man? Not, will you go now with this man? But will you go? Aha. So they're asking her about whether she'll go altogether. What about the fact that yesterday they all agreed to the Shidduch and it was without asking her and it was for immediate execution and they were all in agreement because they saw that it's all from Hashem. So what caused the change in their opinion to the Rebbe? Let's frame it. What happened before? What happened after? Then we'll discover the trigger that made them change their mind. When Lavan and Bethuel said the day before, it's all from Hashem, so we can't tell you any opinion, neither for or against. Here's Rivka, take her and go. So that was all because it was clear from Eliezer's words that the whole thing was divinely ordained. But they weren't going to argue, and they weren't going to delay. If it's all from Hashem, fine. Then, the next morning, Eliezer comes up with a new request. And he says, don't delay me. Let me go straight back to my master with Rivka. Oh. So, why were they asking, let her delay? Because that's the normal practice. as she says. So they're agreeing to the shidduch, but they're surprised at Eliezer's request, because the normal practice is to give a girl 12 months. Not only that, but Eliezer himself, when he suggested the shidduch yesterday, he didn't talk about in making it happen immediately, unlike the standard procedure. So this seems to be a switch. He's now adding provisos to the whole story, which makes them go back and question whether everything he said yesterday is also true. And the Rebbe brings in a footnote that we find a similar idea in Parshat Bereishis, where Chava says, when she's enticed by the Nochosh to eat of the Eitz HaDaat, she says Hashem told us not to eat and not to touch the tree. And the Nochosh made her touch the tree, and he said, see, you didn't die, so you also won't die when you eat from it. So once we see that once doubt is raised as to part of a person's statement, which seems so clear that it's in Hashem's name, and now doubt is cast on that statement, so the doubt is on the whole statement. Likewise here, when Eliezer refused to go along with the usual practice and he added something new, that it has to happen right away, so they say there's no proof from this story yesterday about the miraculous arrival in one day and the providential meeting Rivka at the well. No proof that it's supposed to happen immediately. So this must be what Eliezer is adding. So who knows whether he didn't make up the story or the details and make it sound more miraculous than it was. Maybe it's not from Hashem. So, if so, we'll follow regular procedure and we'll ask Rivka about the whole shidduch. Since it's not so clear that it's divinely ordained, we'll follow standard procedure. And now we understand why Rashi says about the request of Lavan and their mother, let her stay with us 12 months or 10. That Rashi comments that is the way we do things with the girl. We give it 12 months. That's the basis of their statement, that it wasn't a request, but like, surely you're going to give it 12 months, or at least 10, because that's what the normal thing is done. This is what made them suspect Eliezer in the first place, that not everything he said, not everything was like he said, it's all divinely ordained, no. But if so, that it's standard practice to give a girl 12 months, where did the 10 months come in from? So the idea is like this. We give a girl 12 months to prepare herself with her finery, her adornments, whatever she needs for the wedding. But we find in the story of Eliezer coming to Rivka's house and recounting the whole story of his oath and his journey, and the way the family said, this is all divinely ordained from Hashem, here's Rivka, take her and go. Right after that, Eliezer took out presents. He took out some sweet treats, and he gave it to her mother and her brother. But to Rivka herself, he gave bracelets and a ring, a nose ring. This is jewelry. So this would be part of what the girl would provide for herself in the 12 months leading up to her wedding. So let's say that what Eliezer gave her already would be equal to two months of what she would need to prepare herself. There's still 10 months left. So they say, let her stay a year as the standard practice. And if you want to count what you gave yesterday as part of her preparation for a wedding, not just plain present, but a preparation for a wedding, if you want to count it that way, then at least give her 10 months. Nevertheless, Eliezer says, send me off back to my master with Rivka, because he said, like I told you yesterday, it was all arranged miraculously to happen quick. So obviously it's meant to happen right away. And my conjecture, he said that she wouldn't need to provide for herself all these things because they would be provided for by Avram and by Yitzchok. One final point. And the Rebbe discussed this both in Pshut Lashon Mikra and the understanding of the Pasuk, and afterwards in the Halachic sense. Rashi comments on Nikola, not of Anishalo, as Pia, let us call the girl and ask her what she thinks. Rashi comments, from here we derive that we don't marry off a woman except by her consent. The source for Rashi's comment is in Medrash, Bereishis Rabba, but there is different. It says, from here we learn that we don't marry off a Yisoimo, an orphan girl, except by her consent. Why was Rivka an orphan girl? Because Bisula had just died the day before. Why did Rashi change from the language of the Medrash, he is talking about an orphan girl, and write Ho Isho? So the Rebbe explains that Rivka, although she was then a minor, she was very young, but she was considered an Isha, a woman, insofar as her intelligence, her maturity was concerned. And we find that Rashi said in Pasha Toldoi concerning Yankev and Esav, that when they grew up, then these people saw that Yaakov was a wholesome person, and he sat in the tents of Torah. Esav was a hunter, and he spent his days in the field hunting. So Rashi says that until they were grown up, nobody paid attention to their actions. But that they grew up, now these people noticed that this one was like this and that one was like that. Now, the expression in Rashi that no one paid attention, no one was medactic, no one was particular about their actions when they were young, presumably because the behavior of a child is not yet an indication of his behavior when he's an adult, or at least people think so and they don't pay attention. But their behavior when they're grown is already more of an indicator of what their temperament and what their character is like. But the implication of Rashi is just that people don't pay attention. If you would pay careful attention, you would be able to discern a person's character from his behavior, even when he's a child. Now, Eliezer was discerning. He made that condition, that sign at the well, the girl who will offer not only water for him, but water for all the people with him and all the animals. So he's looking very carefully at her behavior, that he is able to discern, like from her behavior, what she would be like even as a grown person. Rivka was already mature. So Rashi says that from here we can derive that you don't marry off even a mature woman except by her consent. Not only a yistoyma, an orphan girl, meaning someone who ordinarily would be cared for by her father, her needs would be taken care of by her father, but now that her father's gone, so the rest of the family's looking after her, and they might just foist her off on somebody, and therefore you have to protect her and make sure to get her consent. No, even a grown woman, if the family is arranging, or even if the father is arranging a match, it has to be by her consent. So at any rate, Rivka was then considered an isha, a woman, not just a girl, a minor. Now this, the Rebbe, fits in with the halachic parameters of this discussion. Why? How do we know that a person is considered grown at bar mitzvah for a boy, 13, and bas mitzvah for a girl at 12? How do we know that that's the age of maturity? Two sources. One source is that it's one of these arbitrary regulations or statutory regulations, like everything in Torah had certain amount, quantity, time, distance. So everything comes with a shir. It's halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. When Hashem gave Moshe a mitzvah, it comes with its regulations, which include the shiurim, the amount of time, space, step. So that's one way. So bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, it means that when Hashem gave the mitzvahs, he said that a person is obligated to do the mitzvahs from when he's a major or she's a major, and the age of majority is 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that we derive it from the story of Shimon and Levi, who at the time of the story were 13 years old, and they took up swords against the people of Shechem, and the expression in the Pasuk in telling the story is Vayikhu Shimon Velevi Ish Charboi. Shimon and Levi, each man took up his sword. Ish, aha. So they are an ish when they're 13. So that's the source that a 13 years old is considered an ish. What's the difference whether we consider it a statutory regulation given to Moshe at Sinai, or whether it's derived from Shimon and Levi before Matan Torah? The difference is whether it applies to Bnei Noach. The mitzvahs which were given to Yidden come with their shir, their statutory, regulatory measures. It wouldn't apply to Goyim in the mitzvahs which they have to perform. But if we learn it from the story of Shimon Velevi, then it's understood that this will depend on the individual maturity of each person. It's not statutory. If they're mature at 13, then they're mature. If they're mature at 10, then they're major, then two. Then you wouldn't have a fixed date at which a person's called a major and responsible for his action. So now that Rashi says that Rivka is young, and nevertheless she's called an Isha, what is Rashi saying? That the age of majority then was not a statutory one, which would be 12 years old for a girl. No, she wasn't 12. Nevertheless, she's called an Isha. Why? Because, simply speaking, she was part of Bnei Noach, of general mankind. She didn't have the status of Yisrael and didn't have the rules and regulations of Yidden after Matan Torah. So she fitted into the class of Bnei Noach. So what's the age of majority for Bnei Noach? Whenever they reach maturity. So she, being that Rivka had already attained maturity at her age, so she's already considered an Isho. And that's why Rashi said that from here we derive that we don't marry off an Isho, a woman, except by her consent. So Rashi's words, although they follow the Pshut Shel Mikra, they are also Uzgehalten, they're correct and justified according to the method of Halacha.